Archbishop Makgoba, soon after the passing of our father, I went to visit Mamali Yatutu and the family. And after that visit, some journalists were standing outside and they asked me, will the Archbishop be given a Category 1 funeral? I said, of course, it will be a Category 1 funeral. But then I added, with religious characteristics. And may I say that today, you may well have written another chapter in government orders and processes of what a Category 1 funeral with religious characteristics is. And thank you very much. I've just seen it for myself. If Archbishop Desmond Tutu were here, he would have said, hey, why are you looking so glum, so unhappy? He would have wanted to elicit a smile, a laughter from amongst all of us. That was the type of person that he was. I'm really delighted that government has been led in this whole process by the church. We had, after the passing of Madiba, envisaged that this moment would come. And for well over 6 years, a file in government has been building up, and we've been discussing how are we going to send Archbishop Tutu on to the next world. And we took a view that we would be led by the church, and I'm rather pleased that government has taken a back seat this time round. It is only a few amongst us, the rarest of souls, who attain the stature of global icon during their lifetime. In our modern age, this term has come to be associated with celebrity and social media fame. Yet if we are to understand a global icon to be someone of great moral stature, of exceptional qualities, and of service to humanity, there can be no doubt that it refers to the man we are laying to rest today. Archbishop Desmond Tutu was without question a crusader in the struggle for freedom, for justice, for equality, and for peace. Not only in South Africa, the country of his birth, but around the world as well. Such was the overarching impact and influence that Emeritus Archbishop Desmond Tutu had that tributes have been received, as we heard, from current, past presidents, religious leaders, monarchs, lawmakers, political parties, musicians, artists, and ordinary people from all corners of the world. Climate activists, LGBTQI+ groups, solidarity movements, and community organizations are just some of those who have paid homage to a man who gave his life to the cause of freedom. A humble and brave human being who spoke for the oppressed, the downtrodden, and the suffering of the world. In doing so, he walked in the footsteps of his mentor, Father Trevor Huddleston, and of the many heroic champions of freedom in our country and on our continent. How fitting is it that his parents named him Mpilo when he was born, meaning life. In his life, he enriched the lives of all those that he met and all those who got to know him. Over the past week, we have had many moving accounts, and we've also seen many images of Desmond Tutu's life. These accounts and images in many ways are a chronicle of a life of activism, statesmanship, ministry, and pastoralism. There is one image taken in 1989 at the protest march here in Cape Town. In the black and white photograph, we see Archbishop Desmond Tutu and the late Professor Jakes Gerwel alongside him, glaring defiantly at a cordon of police who were armed to the teeth, just inches away. Their mission, that is the police, was to stop the march from proceeding. It is a striking photograph that captures the steely determination of the arch to challenge the authority of an unjust, illegitimate, and repressive regime. It was a vivid depiction of the confrontation between right, represented by those who were marching for democracy, and might, represented by the men in the uniform of the apartheid police. That photograph brings to mind the words he spoke following his arrest in 1988 during a clergy-led protest against the crackdown on anti-apartheid groups. Bible in hand, he told a news conference he would continue with his defiance. We are not defying the law, he declared. We are obeying God. There is the famous image taken in 1996 during the hearings of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of our arch. His head bent over folded arms, his shoulders weighed down by the deep tragedy and the unspeakable cruelty that was being told of the apartheid crime. The TRC had just heard heart-rending testimony from a veteran activist, Malchas, on how he was tortured by the security police so brutally that he was now confined, as he testified at the TRC, in a wheelchair. Overcome with emotion at what he had heard, Archbishop Desmond Tutu dropped his head in his hands and wept. That is a photograph that has gone around the world for all to see. Together, these photographs speak not only of the strength of his convictions, but to how deeply he felt the anguish and the suffering inflicted by others who were perpetrators of injustice and intolerance. There are the many images we have of him speaking to crowds, his arms stretched out as though embracing them, or looking serenely up to the heavens. He was a man with a faith as deep as it was abiding. For him, opposing injustice, standing up for the oppressed, defying unjust laws, was God's work. Destiny had anointed him a champion of the immortal cause of justice. He took to heart and lived the words of the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, verses 8 to 9, which says, "Speak out for those who cannot speak, for the rights of all the destitute. Speak out, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and the needy." He was not content to decry apartheid at conferences or benefit concerts or international forums. He was there with the freedom fighters, confronting the apartheid regime and comforting its victims. He was not content to preach about social justice from the pulpit. He was with the homeless, the helpless, the persecuted, the sick and the destitute, in the streets, in the shelters, and in homes. He embraced all who had ever felt the cold wind of exclusion, and they in turn also embraced him. He sought to emulate Jesus Christ, who embraced all those whose society looked down upon and rejected. Throughout his life, he became involved in causes both here at home and abroad that went to the very heart of the quest for social justice. Through the Desmond Tutu HIV Foundation, he was involved in the treatment and care of people living with HIV and AIDS, in the provision of health care services to adolescents, and the empowerment of young women. He was an outspoken supporter of the Palestinian cause, and in 2014, he wrote a powerful article calling on the Israelis and Palestinians to find each other and to make peace. In his words, "Peace requires the people of Israel and Palestine to recognize the human being in themselves and each other, and to understand their interdependence." He advocated for the LGBTQI plus rights and decried all forms of violence and discrimination against this community. Speaking of hate crimes perpetrated against the LGBTQI plus community, in a powerful video message marking 20 years since the World Conference on Human Rights, he said, "I oppose such injustice with the same passion that I oppose apartheid." One of the causes that was dear to him and less well known to many of us was campaigning together with Her Royal Highness Mabel van Oranje, who is here with us today, against child marriage across the globe. I have learned how the Arch traveled to villages in Ethiopia, in India, and Zambia to understand the circumstances under which young girls were being forced into marriage. He also took up this cause with the elders. Mary Robinson, part of the elders, is here. Mama Gracia Marcel is also here. The group of senior leaders brought together by President Nelson Mandela in 2007. Such was his stamina, such was his commitment to social justice for all, that he took up the cudgels on behalf of millions of people around the world. Many would know his name, but many would not. But he did make a difference in taking up their causes. He never stopped fighting. He never stopped speaking out. And he never stopped caring. Since the passing of our beloved Arch, we've been looking back on his life, on the part he played in our transition to democracy, and to his towering role as the chairperson of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Today, 27 years after the advent of our democracy, we can still say with certainty that what we have achieved as a country was nothing short of a miracle. We could have chosen the path of retribution, but the project of national reconciliation, of recognizing the injustices of our past, set us apart from many societies in transition. Alongside President Nelson Mandela, Archbishop Desmond Tutu helped to steer our nation through this very challenging and painful period. The heart-rending testimonies of many who had suffered and lost loved ones were broadcast for all to see. The accounts opened deep apartheid wounds, but they also opened a window not only for the formerly oppressed to know what had happened to their loved ones, but also to the white minority community to know what crimes had been committed and perpetrated in their name. Helping us to come to terms with the past was among the most arduous tasks of our new nation, and Archbishop Desmond Tutu played a seminal role in this whole process. At Madiba's request, he led the truth and reconciliation process with integrity, dignity, and humility. While our beloved Madiba was the father of our democracy, Archbishop Desmond Tutu was the spiritual father of our new nation. In considering how fortunate we are as a country to have been blessed with these two global icons, we think about Vilakazi Street in Soweto, the only street in the whole world that was home to two Nobel Peace Laureates. We think how both of these two icons of our country played different but complementary roles in forging the nation that we are today. Archbishop Desmond Tutu has been our moral compass, but he's also been our national conscience. Even after the advent of democracy, he did not hesitate to draw attention, often harshly, to our shortcomings as leaders of the democratic state. He saw our country as a rainbow nation emerging from the shadow of apartheid, united in its diversity, with freedom and equal rights for all. The Arch bequeathed us many things. The importance of having the courage of one's convictions, solidarity with the oppressed, delivering on the promises made by the Constitution, and many others. But it was with this term, Rainbow Nation, that he bequeathed our new nation the greatest gift of all, hope and forgiveness. Hope and forgiveness for a better tomorrow. Hope for a country free of tyranny, and hope for a society where all the people of South Africa, irrespective of their religious affiliation, their gender, their race, their origin, could live side by side in harmony. When he first spoke about us as a rainbow nation, South Africa was a different place and we were going through a very difficult time. We are still finding our feet on our long road to nationhood. He has left us at another difficult time in the life of our nation. Problems and challenges abound and they are everywhere. Poverty and inequality, racism, homophobia, gender-based violence, crime and corruption have left many people disenchanted. There are times when he felt let down, and yet he never lost hope. The most fitting tribute we can pay to him, whoever and wherever we are, is to take up the cause of social justice for which he tirelessly campaigned throughout his life. Archbishop Tutu has left a formidable legacy, and we are enormously diminished by his passing. His life straddled an epoch in our country's history that has now come to an end. Though we say goodbye to him today with the heaviest of hearts, we salute our beloved Arch for all that he did to help build this nation. We thank him for giving us hope, for reminding us of our responsibility as a people, but more especially also as leaders, and for giving us a reason to believe that we are and that we can be a true rainbow nation that he spoke about. We celebrate him for what he was, life, mpilo. To Mama Leah and the family, our nation shares in your sorrow. On behalf of the government and the people of South Africa, we thank you for sharing your husband, your father, your brother, uncle, and grandfather with us. We know it was not easy, and yet you did so willingly. He belonged to all of us, and it is all of us who mourn him, but today we celebrate his life. I recently came across these words which provide a fitting end to any tribute to Desmond Tutu. Tears are sometimes an inappropriate response to death. When a life has been lived completely honestly, completely successfully, or just completely, the correct response to death's perfect punctuation mark is a smile. His was a life lived honestly and completely. He has left the world a better place. And he has left our country a much better place than we were prior to our democracy. We remember him with a smile, the type of smile that he would have flashed around. And we say, farewell, Father, servant of God. Tsamaya ka kgotso, hamba kahle, ulale ngoxolo. Rest in peace. Thank you.